So the introduction says that we know from Deuteronomy that God gives his people an opportunity of worship by instructing us to give an offering during the holy day seasons. A financial offering to God is worship, just as our prayers and our tears and our psalms of praise are an offering to God. Deuteronomy 16:16, speakers love that combination because we could remember it. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, three times a year your males shall appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which he has given to you. I go on and say that the Bible is a giant book of books, and it's interesting to explore some of the various times when God's people are called upon to help accomplish a goal, a work for God. In the example I want to bring you today, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians about giving. The context, there's still a need in Jerusalem to help the poor in the church to survive extreme need. And so in 2 Corinthians 8, I use the CEV version of the Bible for this because it translates units into numbers that we're going to understand. So rather than talking about firkins and other units that we don't really have a sense for, it switches it into tons and ounces and things like that. So 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, it says, my friends, we want you to know that the churches in Macedonia, which is the northern Greece area, Philippi and Thessalonica, have shown others how kind God is. So he's talking to the Corinthians, but he's mentioning these other churches. I want you to know that the churches in Macedonia have shown others how kind God is. Although they were suffering hard times and were very poor, they were glad to give generously. They gave as much as they could afford and even more simply because they wanted to. They even asked and begged us to let them come and have the joy of giving their money for God's people. And they did more than we had hoped. They gave themselves first to the Eternal, then to us, just as God wanted them to do. Titus was the one who got you started doing this good thing. So we begged him to have you finish what you had begun. And to the Corinthians he said, you do everything better than anyone else. You have stronger faith, you speak better, and you know more. You're eager to give, and you love us better. Now, you must give more generously than anyone else. I'm not ordering you to do this. I'm simply testing how real your love is by comparing it with the concern that others have shown. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ was kind enough to give up all his riches and become poor so that you could become rich. A year ago, you were the first ones to give, and you gave because you wanted to. So listen to my advice. I think you should finish what you started. If you give according to what you have, you will prove that you are as eager to give as you are to think about giving. And there's a verse that I wanted to emphasize. I wasn't sure how to do it, but I think I might have accomplished it through slightly different print. Paul says, it doesn't matter how much you have. What matters is how much you're willing to give from what you have. I'm not trying to make life easier for others by making life harder for you. But it's only fair for you to share with them when you have so much and they have so little. Later, when they have more than enough and you are in need, they can share with you. Then everyone will have a fair share. I work for an insurance company, and that's the concept behind insurance companies, is when you have some abundance, you give to them, and then when you suffer a loss, then they can give back to you. I don't think Empire Life was around 2,000 years ago when Paul was talking, and so within the groups of the churches, we helped take care of each other in that way. And the last verse there, he's talking about everyone will have a fair share, just as the scriptures say, those who gathered too much had nothing left, those who gathered only a little had all they needed. And again, that comes from the example of manna, where people went out and gathered manna, and everyone had enough. So we don't want to be the man who abounds in spiritual interests, who is fervent, prayerful, affectionate, able to speak in the church, but unable to part with his money. We don't want to be that man. Why? Because it's unbalanced. If each of us had a friend who became interested in the church, and we were their mentor to help them learn about God's ways, how might we answer the question, how much should I give for a holy day offering? One approach is to point out the extremes, because it can clearly illustrate the key issues. Extreme number one, on this side, don't at the last minute grab a couple of coins out of your pocket to throw in the basket. God wants you to consider your offering, and he wants your involvement, participation, to be meaningful to you. Giving is an act of worship, so do it mindfully with thanksgiving. The other extreme, on this side, if you give up everything, live in a shelter, survive on the cheapest food, and not spend money on clothing or grooming to take a bath or shower because the cost to heat the water, so that you can maximize the donation you give to the church, your co-workers will rightly think that you're weird and smelly, and you may be neglecting to properly provide for your family, and you may lose your job. God's not asking you to do this. It's unbalanced. God provides blessings to enjoy. He just asks that you also properly consider others and the work of preaching the gospel. So as Paul wrote above in that really big print, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12 says, it doesn't matter how much you give. What matters is you're being willing to give from what you have. God is a cheerful giver, and we can be cheerful givers too.